Our top story this week marks the last chance for Julian Assange. Imprisoned journalist and WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is set to appear before two High Court judges in London on February 20th to 21st, 2024, in what will likely be his final appeal against extradition to the United States. Assange, an Australian citizen, faces charges of violating the US Espionage Act and the potential for a staggering 175-year prison sentence if convicted. This may be the final chance for Julian Assange to prevent his extradition to the United States, WikiLeaks warned. His years-long imprisonment in HM Prison Belmarsh in London, UK, comes without having been convicted of any crime. The two judges will re-evaluate a decision made in June of 2023, which denied the journalist's request to make further appeals and struck down parts of a January 2021 ruling which had rejected Assange's extradition due to concerns about the risk of suicide and his deteriorating health. Earlier this week, Australian federal MPs, including the Prime Minister and Cabinet members, overwhelmingly voted to urge the US and the UK to allow the return of Assange to Australia. Also earlier this week, we spoke to Julian Assange's father, Mr. John Shipton, in an exclusive interview to discuss the current situation and potential action from the Australian government. Here's that interview now. Mr. John Shipton, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Maria. Pleasure to be here with you again.
It's wonderful to have you. This is a very, very crucial time for Julian. Next week, you are traveling to the UK for this hearing. As at the time of this recording, because of your travel schedule, we're still right before the parliamentary hearing that's taking place. But just this week, we've had this news that's come out that many parliamentarians are supporting bringing Julian home here to Australia. So I guess first talk to us about the significance of what's happening next week in the UK.
Well, so if I can start with the Australian parliamentary action. Yesterday, the Australian Parliament voted at 80 members to support Julian. So, and that motion was passed by the Parliament. So that leads us into the hearing on Monday and Tuesday before two judges, and the hearing is to whether Julian will be allowed to appeal against the previous court's determination that the extradition go ahead. So that's the circumstance. If that fails, the last resort, I don't know how strong they will be, is the European Court of Human Rights.
Well, of course, we're hoping that next week in the UK it goes well, but if it doesn't and the European option isn't feasible, of course, I know that you and Julian will keep fighting, but I want people to understand how serious this is for the future of the press and freedom in press. Can you please speak to that?
Well, in the United Kingdom, they've now introduced a series of legislations under the name of digital safety, which has nothing to do with digital safety. What it's principally concerned with in its entirety is the repression of information and the capacity to government to move against digital media, or what we call social media, or what I like to call civic media. Let me see how to express this. It's over a period of now 15 years that the governments, having seen Julian's contribution to the public's understanding of a number of wars and the means by which the United States goes about its diplomatic work in the world, we understand that now. And as a consequence of that, the governments have moved to restrict our capacity to get at information, to evaluate what the government is doing, and to evaluate where we stand relative to the government's position and actions. This, I would say, is tragic. People often use the idea of democracy and Jefferson's assertion that democracy cannot exist without newspapers in the sense of the fourth estate or the fifth estate, depending upon what country you're in. But from my point of view, it's pursuant upon us as citizens to be able to understand the world, understand where the government is going, and as a consequence, be able to put to each other our ideas and our learning and come to conclusions which allow us and our families to flourish, and as a consequence, our communities to flourish. I find these conclusions myself simple. Once a government embarks upon the repression of information, it means that its community is ill-informed, and as a consequence, the government itself becomes ill-informed, because everything, all genius, ascends from the people. It doesn't fall like rain from clouds. It ascends from the knowledge that guys like you bring us and that we discuss amongst ourselves, and informs the totality of the community and allows for an intensity of cooperation which fosters intelligence. It's, to me, fairly simple that these understanding that I've just outlined. The second thing is that once that deterioration moves into politics and the political class and the elite class, then the community itself and the substance of that community falls into precipitous decline. It's obvious to everybody that the UK is down to its uppers. We Australians had to give 3 billion Australian dollars to the United Kingdom to fix up its shipyards so that it could assist in the building of the submarines that we want to buy. They've got nothing. They have no coal, they have no steel, they have no gas, they can't even provide their own food. And, you know, it's in the case of Australia, an immensely rich, flourishing place. We stretch from Cape York Peninsula to the Antarctic, in the other direction, from the Norfolk Islands to Christmas Island, embracing Indian Ocean, Pacific Ocean, the Southern Ocean, and Torres Strait. Areas of richness and strategic importance not exceeded by any other country in the world.
Mr. Shipton, I really want to ask you, how confident are you that the Australian government is going to do the right thing? Again, I'm bringing up again that at the time of this interview, because of your travel schedule, we're still awaiting on the decision from the Australian Parliament today, which, you know, by the time we actually air this, there will be an update. But how confident are you that they're going to do the right thing here? And if Julian is brought home, will they actually allow him to return to his family, or is there a possibility that there's some sort of charges that they'll bring up against him?
Well, in answer to the first part of your question, the entirety of the massive weight of Julian Assange, emblematic of press freedom and the freedom of us to speak to each other in confidence, rests now upon the shoulders of Anthony Albanese and the Australian government in its entirety. It's a matter of global concern right throughout the West, and it rests upon the shoulders of the Prime Minister of Australia and his government. That's the first part. The second part, if Julian is returned to Australia, oh, sorry, when Julian is returned to Australia, the circumstances and the life he will lead will fight that at the time. But first of all, let's bring him home so that you can interview him, so that he can be with his kids, and so that the Australian electorate will feel the relief and the substance and sovereignty that their wishes and their desires and their demands of the Australian government have been met, and that the relationship between the Australian government, the people of Australia, and the responsibilities of government are as one.
I think that's so vital. If this outcome is what we are hoping that it is, which is that Julian is brought home, does that mean that it puts an end to this situation that's happening next week in the UK?
I imagine so, yes. I imagine that the if the United Kingdom, so for example, we start from this point. Every year, trillions of dollars of financial contracts are written in the City of London for loans. Often they fall into dispute. Having a court system that can adjudicate fairly over those disputes is vital to the wealth of London, demonstrating that they will do anything that a third party instructs, in this case, the United States, brings their judicial system into disrepute. So they do themselves an injustice, that
Yes.
they ruin an essential part of the financial structure of the City of London by being unable to fairly adjudicate over a dispute. And this is demonstrated over a period of now moving to 15 years in the case of Julian Assange. Nobody would who is in responsible for large sums of money will willingly write a contract in the United Kingdom.
Well, Mr. Shipton, thank you so much for this vital update on Julian. We will certainly be praying for him, following this case very, very closely, and we hope to see him back in Australia, back home with his family on home soil very, very soon. Thank you again for your time today.
Thank you, Maria. You're a treat. Thank you.
We'd like to thank Mr. Shipton for his time and his fight, not only for Julian, but for all journalists worldwide. We'd also like to mention the protest to defend a free press being held between the 20th and 21st of February at the Royal Courts of Justice. Details for this can be found on the article mentioned earlier on the Vigilant News Network. Please join us in wishing Julian well and praying for true justice and his release to reunite him with his family in freedom.